So, good morning, everyone. I'd like to begin the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District Board of Directors meeting this March 9th at 8 a.m. We'll go to the agenda. Item number one is the Pledge of Allegiance. And Ruben, can you tee that up for us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go to item number two. And Vanessa, would you please call the roll of the Board of Directors?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Santana?
Present.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. Let the record show that all directors are present for this morning's meeting. We'll go to item number three to adopt the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. Any questions, discussions? Hearing none, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. So that passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to public comments. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. You have a 3-minute time limit. And just so that everyone knows, we do have a public hearing on number 8 for redistricting. So if there's any public comments that's not related to redistricting, item number 4 will be an appropriate time to make that discussion. So Vanessa, do we have any public comments?
Good morning, President Chavez. We have not received any written comments. However, I do see Cynthia Stonecrest has her hands raised.
So, Cynthia, did you want to do public comments right now, or did you want to hold it up to the during the public hearing on number 8? Cynthia, can you hear me?
Yes, I would defer to the comment period.
Okay. So, Vanessa, any other public comments?
This time I don't see any hands raised.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and dispense with that and go to item number 5, which is committee reports. Committee reports are in your packet for the administration. Finance Committee, Water Resources, and Government Affairs. Those reports are in our packets. Did any of the chairs wish to add any additional comments or items to those reports? If not, we'll go ahead and receive and file those. We'll go to item number 6, consent calendar. So we have 6A and 6B, 6C, and 6D. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved, Garcia.
Second up by fellow. Tony, you're a little slow this morning.
Katrina's got more energy.
I just had my coffee.
There you go. Okay, so there's a motion on the floor and a second to approve the consent calendar. Any discussion? Hearing none. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That the consent calendar passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to 7A, which is federal and state summaries and positions. The committee met on March 7th. However, there wasn't a full quorum, so the committee didn't send any recommendations, but we can have a discussion about that now. So Tom, are you going to do that, or Patty's going to do that?
Well, Patty can do it. Patty can do it. Correctly.
Yeah. So, the committee did meet. The committee wasn't a full committee. They did discuss these legislative positions, and they're included in your package with staff's recommendation on support or oppose or watch. Be happy to answer any questions regarding those if the directors have any questions.
Thank you. Directors, any questions for this item for legislative discussions? None? And I'll accept the motion for approval of these positions.
So moved. Move to Hannah.
Thank
Second.
You. It's been moved and seconded to approve the legislative positions. Hearing no discussions, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Chavez, aye. Thank you. So that passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 8. This is the time for the public hearing. And let me just switch things here. So at this time, we'll begin the public hearing items with the presentation from Mr. Love regarding Upper District's redistricting efforts. And then following presentations, directors will have an opportunity to clarify comments at this time. So now I open the public hearing at this time. We'll accept comments from this item. And Vanessa, do you have any public comments that have been sent
President,
to
President Chavez, before we open the public hearing, staff has a presentation they'd like to make.
Okay. Please do, Mr. Love.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to share this presentation with everyone and go through the maps that have been submitted. So just give me a moment to open the presentation. Okay. Do you see the title slide on your screens? Okay. I see heads nodding. All right. So this is a discussion of existing and some proposed district boundary maps for the director's divisions. But I first want to go through the process that we've gone through to date, talk again about the methodology used to analyze the demographic data, and then go into existing map. And we have three submitted maps to present, maps 1, 2, and 3. So we've reviewed the 2020 census data, and in reviewing that data, the board is taking into consideration, is there a need to revise existing boundaries? Under state law, SB 594, which was recently signed into law by the governor, they did change the deadline for completing this, which previously used to be 180 days prior to the next election in which one of the directors would be running. That's changed from that date to April 17th. So when we started this, we began the committee and board discussions back in November of 2021, where we provided the initial analysis of the census data. At December 6th, there was an additional discussion reviewing that data and discussing the redistricting process. January 12th, at a board of directors meeting, the staff presented the census data and again discussed the redistricting process. On January 26th, the board of directors did hold the first public hearing on this matter to review the census data, existing boundaries, and receive public comment. Then on February 7th, the Government Affairs Committee did review the existing map boundaries, and we did receive committee and public comment. And then again on February 23rd, we held a redistricting workshop. Again, received public comment and board input on drafting new maps for consideration. At that meeting, the directors requested that any directors or members of the public that would like to submit a map should submit that map to the district offices. And as I mentioned, we did receive three submittals. So I want to talk about the methodology we used to analyze the data. So We use Stetson Engineering. Stetson is a full service engineering and scientific firm. So they've got engineers and scientists on board. They have people with expertise in geographic information systems, or GIS, that is used for mapping. And within that GIS, data can also be analyzed. And so the census demographic data was loaded into the GIS and used to evaluate the demographics within the district service area. And so with that capability they had, the district engineer, which is Stetson Engineers, who is already on retainer with the district, performed the work. So within that, there are census blocks that are smaller areas and census tracts that were utilized. In some cases, some of the boundaries bisect a census block. And the methodology used in that case is the area, the geographic area within that census block is percentage on each side of the boundary is determined, and that percentage is applied to the population within that census block. And it's not total population that's used in this analysis. It's the citizen voting age population, or CVAP. So this is the existing boundary map. I won't go into detail on it. I think everyone's fairly familiar with the five divisions and how they are geographically described. I'm going to go down to the first submitted map, which we have designated public map one. And I'm going to talk about the changes that were made. And I'm going to start with division one. And as I go through these, there's, you know, these changes affect more than one division. By the time I get to the end, I will have discussed every change. But I will just get started now and talk about the changes in division one. And if you can follow my cursor, in map one, this portion of the city of Azusa, in the northern part of the city of Azusa, which currently is in the first division, is moved into the fourth division. Secondly, this portion of Duarte, which previously, well, in the existing map is in the first division, is now moved into the fifth division. Third, this unincorporated area here north of Longdon Avenue, I think sometimes referred to as the East Pasadena area, is moved from the second division into the first division. This portion of Temple City, which is, and I'm going to switch back because it's helpful to see the boundaries. So this is the existing map. So that's the current boundary within Temple City. And this is the proposed boundary on map one. And that moves this boundary line over to Baldwin Avenue. And then north of this line, I'm not sure what that street is there, but north of this, it follows the city boundaries up until it reaches this unincorporated area. Also in map one, this portion of Rosemead, which in the existing map is in the first division, is moved over to the second division. This portion of El Monte, which on the existing map is in the second division, is moved into the first division. And lastly, this portion of Montebello, which currently resides in the third division, is proposed to move into the second division. Moving on to, so the changes I just described for the first division cover all the changes that affect the second division. For division three, all portions of the unincorporated.
Sorry, yeah. How many changes is that? Is that four or five changes?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 changes so far.
Seven changes. Okay. And yes. I just want to make a point that the first on your first graph, the first things that you mentioned, the first four that you mentioned, whether it was, the staff, talked about the census, et cetera. Those were all staff driven. They were not driven by the board. So staff brought those recommendations up, and waiting for the board to give direction and the board did not give direction until January. And I want to make that clear because there was no appetite from the board to do anything or make any changes. And these changes came about in January after repeated times by staff to get some feedback from the board. So I want to stress that point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Director Trevino. So the way we've laid out this public hearing is that during this presentation and immediately after, the board may ask some clarifying questions, but we have reserved the full discussion of the board on this issue to take place after we receive the public comments. So I'll go ahead and continue with the presentation. So within the third division, this unincorporated area between La Puente and West Covina is moved out of the fourth division into the third division. All portions of West Covina, and there's small segments here that in the previous map or the existing map are in the third division. All of West Covina is now moved in to the fourth division. And then there's a small portion of La Puente here that in the existing map resides in the fourth division, and that is being moved into the third division. Moving on to division four. All portions of Baldwin Park, there is a small area of Baldwin Park approximately here that currently is in the fourth division, and this map proposes to move that into the fifth division. And then all portions of Irwindale, there's a portion right here that is currently in the fourth division, is now moved into the fifth division. And so all those changes I described just now take care of all the changes that were made in the fifth division. So just to clarify, the changes in the fifth division is all of Duarte is moved into the fifth division. All of Baldwin Park and all of Irwindale is now in the fifth division. And I'll move on to map two. So map two was based on public comments received at previous meetings. And that comment was to move all of Irwindale and all of Baldwin Park into the fifth division. So that's the only changes that are referred to in map two. Map three, we received this one yesterday. And so for simplicity, I'm going to mention that map two is very similar to map one, in that all these changes on what I call the east side of our service area are identical to the changes proposed in map one, such as moving all of Irwindale and Baldwin Park into the fifth division, moving all of Azusa into the fourth division, and the changes down here near La Puente. Over here on between the fifth division and second division is where map three makes changes that deviate from map one. And so here in Temple City, as I mentioned, map one boundary follows Baldwin Avenue approximately here and then follows the city boundary. In map three, that boundary line is moved over to Temple City Boulevard. The other change on this map is that the portion of Montebello So Montebello in map two, I'm sorry, I better start over for clarity. And I misspoke on Montebello. So in map one, Montebello has been moved to the second division, and that is still consistent with map three. And then this portion of Amani that in map one is moved into the first division remains in the second division like the existing map. In terms of demographics and deviation from the citizen voting age population, all three proposed maps are within the ranges of deviation under the state guidelines. So they fit within the state guidelines for deviation. And with that, I'll conclude the description of the maps and see if the directors have any clarifying questions. And again, a reminder, directors, for the discussion and dialogue amongst the board. we'd like to keep that, we'd like that to occur after the, we receive the public comments. So any questions from directors?
Tom, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Trevino.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. You know, the change is difficult for people, and as you said, in map two, or rather map one, there's, that's the Garcia map, there's seven changes. And this map was proposed by Director Garcia. And I don't understand, the rationale behind it. I don't understand why so many changes and how did these changes come about? And maybe Director Garcia can enlighten me on how they came about. What was the rationale behind it? I just don't understand. In map three, which is a map that I thought had the minimum changes, but yet incorporated everything that Director Garcia wanted, Director Fellow wanted, and Director Santana wanted, but keeping the changes minimal. So maybe Director Garcia, I'd like to understand a little bit more about the map that you propose.
Director Trevino, so as I mentioned, we want to keep the board's discussion and dialogue on this and reserve that until right after the public hearing today.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, all right, thank you. President Chavez, I don't hear any other questions or comments from the directors, so you can proceed and open the public hearing.
Absolutely. So I will now open up the public hearing at this time. We'll accept comments from for this item, and I'll call on Vanessa to call up any public comments, whether it's oral or written. So please do.
Yes, President Chavez, we have received public comments. Nicole and I will be reading the written comments into the record. Any members of the public on Zoom, please raise your hand using the hands raise feature. And if you're dialing, if you're on by phone, you can dial 9 to be called on and *6 to unmute. There is a 3-minute time limit for each public comment. So I will begin with the written comments that we received. The first one we received, no particular order, Jessica Ancona, dear directors, Chavez, Santana, Garcia, Fellow, and Trevino. After reviewing the proposed maps, I am respectfully asking for the board of directors to keep the current map in place or vote for map 2 of Director Trevino's map 3, which would have minimal changes to the current district boundaries. Map 1 far exceeds the definition of map tweaking, as proposed by the directors in doing the redistricting process in-house. I would urge you to listen to your constituents who have communicated to you through the public comment process and vote accordingly. Sincerely, Jessica Ancona, Mayor, City of El Monte. The next one we received is from Marla Provincial. Dear directors, Chavez, Santana, Trevino, Garcia, and Fellow, I'm writing to respectfully request that you only consider the existing map, map 2, or the newly created Trevino map for introduction and adoption at the next public hearing meeting. Map 3, Trevino, takes into account most of the proposed Garcia map while adheres to the request of the public to keep Temple City and most other cities as they currently are. It also gives Mr. Contreras the change while giving Mr. Fellow East Pasadena, which was suggested he would like to have. The existing map has been the preferred map to date, as evident by the public comment testimony that had been placed into the record for the past 4 meetings. Map 2 would also be an acceptable map, as it suggests a small tweak in the existing map and has the least impact on the existing map. In the few discussions that have taken place on redistricting, it was the will of the board of directors that the process could be done in-house where there would be minor tweaking of thesis. MAP 2 introduced by Director Garcia far exceeds the concept of minor tweaking and is not what was agreed upon for discussion items moving forward in this process. I'm hopeful that you all will do what has been asked by your constituents, which have included mayors, council members, city managers that you serve, and residents of the cities of Amani, Temple City, Rosemead, Duarte, and Monrovia. I believe that the process for redistricting should have been more transparent if the amount of changes introduced in MAP 2 were to be presented and discussed. I am also hopeful that all directors will vote for the will of the people as read and heard during public comment testimony. Selecting a map should be free of self-interest or political interest, which protects incumbent seats during an election year. Detailed discussion on the rotational of each map and why it is being presented is needed, and I look forward to a healthy discussion on the subject. Sincerely, Marla Provincia. The next public comment we have is from Joanna Bennett. Dear directors, my name is Joanna Bennett. I am a 40-year-old resident of the city of Temple City. After reviewing the three maps that will be looked at today, I have read to the conclusion that only maps that are acceptable would be the current map in place and the map developed by the upper district engineer. The map proposed by Director Garcia changes the boundaries for Temple City. Public comment from your constituents all spoke to the fact that the current map is what is preferred kitchen by residents both in Temple City, Arcadia, Amani, and other cities within the TC current boundaries. This also goes against the minor tweaking that Director Santana suggests could be done in-house. This is a full-on change that should have required numerous public hearings, information to city managers, constituents, and those you receive public comment from. I'm hopeful that the directors will vote for one of the two maps that does suggest minor tweaks as agreed upon by all the directors at the last meeting. It would also be very helpful to know what help Director Garcia had in preparing the map and with what other directors she might have had input from. Please do the right thing for all those who took the time to provide public comment at the four meetings already held on redistricting. I am hopeful that all directors do the right thing and exclude Director Garcia's map that goes way beyond subtle changes. Joanna Bennett. The next we have is Amy Wang. Hello, I am writing to submit public comment on the upper district redistricting process. I am a resident of Temple City and of the Division 5. Of the first division. I support map 3 or support keeping the existing map as it currently stands. These two maps are in alignment with the direction given to this body by the public and in alignment with the understanding that an in-house redistricting process would only consist of minor tweaks. It is critical that this board listen to the public as redistricting is a process for the people to be engaged in. Thank you, Amy Wang. The next one is from George Wang. Hello, Upper District. I would like this email to be read into public comment as the board conducts redistricting. I support keeping the existing division lines or if a new map must be selected to select map 3. These two approaches best keep communities together and are more aligned a fair redistricting process that reflects public input. As a Temple City resident, even if our communities are divided, these two maps are the most effective at ensuring we are represented fairly and that we can be better engaged with our board members. Thank you. The next public comment we have is from Emily Quach. Dear Upper District Board members, this is a public comment regarding the redistricting currently being considered. I am an Arcadia resident and live in the First Division. I urge this board to adopt Map 3 or maintain the existing division lines. Either approach, either choosing Map 3 or keeping existing lines, will be consistent with what the public has been urging this board to do. This is also critical to keep communities together and to ensure this process does not happen behind closed doors, to ensure that drastic changes won't happen without more extensive public engagement. Thank you, Emily Quach. The next public comment we have is Lucille Bernal, Board of Directors, Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. Dear directors, Azusa, a relatively small city in population, but a city with vast real estate, if we consider the forest areas, has been represented to the board. Been represented on the board, on the water board by directors in two separate water districts. It is one thing to have two directors from one agency representing the city. However, we have two different directors from one agency and then another director from another agency. That's why we prefer Public Map 1, which will place Upper District service area in the hands of one director. This will allow Azusa residents to easily contact their water district director. We continue to congratulate the Upper District for the work it has been doing. We especially paid attention to the community meeting last year dealing with fires in the foothill areas. Sincerely, Lucia Bernal. The next comment we have is from Luis Limon. Dear Board of Directors, as a longtime resident of Temple City, I am familiar with the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District and its conservation efforts, as well as its annual water fest at Santa Anita Park. At one time, we had one water director cover the entire city. Currently, we have two or three. I am a proponent of keeping cities whole or as close as whole when it comes to redistricting matters. The newest redistricting map, which is Public Map 1, does that. Thus, I urge the directors to support the map, which appears to have cleaner division lines among the many cities that make up this large district. In most cases, one director is covering a single city. That is the way redistricting should be done. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Luis Limon. Our next comment we have is from Braxton Sternquist. Dear directors, Trevino, Chavez, Santana, Fellow, and Garcia, I would first like to thank you for your support to the Upper District. I was able to review the proposed redistricting maps online and would suggest that the current map and map 2 are the best options of the three maps submitted. Map 1 consists of major changes that I believe your constituents are not aware of. Minor tweaks, as suggested by directors Trevino, Chavez, Santana, are made in Map 2, which is consistent with the direction given to the GM at the last meeting regarding moving forward with the redistricting process. Any variation of a map moving from minor to major changes, such as Garcia's proposed map, is far from tweaking or minor changes. Only maps that have had very minor tweaks, as mentioned numerous times at your meetings. Best, Braxton Sternquist. The next comment we have is from Miguel Morales. Directors, I write again today to please change the district maps and keep cities together as much as possible. I recently saw your website to view Map 1 and 2. Map 2 looks to be identical to the current map, and Map 1 looks to have decent modifications to keep cities together. I agree with what Al Contreras mentioned to keep it fair and easy to understand. keep Baldwin Park together or have clear landmarks of district boundaries, not gerrymandered districts to benefit particular board members. Thank you. Miguel Morales. Next comment we have is from Clarence Wong. Dear members of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, I am a resident of South Pasadena who has had a great interest in water issues for a good part of my professional life. I even served on a water board at one time. In addition, I have attended educational trips to the Colorado River and State Water Project offered by Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. I also keep abreast of federal, state, and local issues dealing with water. In addition, I have been a fan of your yearly Waterfest. I write because I have been listening and reading the minutes of your meetings dealing with redistricting. Having been involved in redistricting efforts at one time, it is a difficult task. Ideally, you seek a balance among the district as far as population is concerned, and you should make an effort to keep cities whole. Having studied both maps because of my interest in this district, I applaud Public Map 1, which keeps many cities of interest whole, and I urge the Board of Directors to adopt it. Thank you for your attention. Clarence Wong. Next is William Mason. Dear Upper District Board of Director members, because our political system is a significant part of what I teach, I often talk to my students about redistricting and its importance. A discussion we, in fact, recently concluded as it relates to federal, state, and local elective office. Moreover, as someone who is interested in civic issues and will likely run for political office in the near future, I have kept track of your agency's redistricting plans. As a resident of Covina, I like Public Map 1, which I know will place more cities in the hands of one representative. However, it makes far better use of existing political boundaries. I commend the Upper District for its work, and I will continue to keep abreast of upcoming town hall meetings. I also hope your Fall Waterfest will again become a reality. It is an outstanding way to educate the public and my students. Thank you. William Mason. And next, I have Mr. Salcido, Chris Salcido. Dear directors of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, as a science teacher and department chair at Arcadia High School, I can attest to how important it is for our students to understand how their water is governed. We have a robust AP environmental science program at Arcadia High School. As part of the curriculum, we focus on communicating with our government leaders about environmental concerns and water projects. The current divisions are difficult to explain at our AP environmental science students since there is no discernible reason for the boundaries. I ask that the directors adopt Public Map 1 since the boundaries are accessible to current and future votes. Creating divisions that are grouped by cities and school districts is more equitable and just makes sense. Thank you, Mr. Salcido. Nicole will continue with the additional comments that we received.
Public comments from Jimmy Martinez. Thomas, Travis, Santana, Trevino, Garcia, and Santana. My neighbor just told me that the proposal maps for redistricting are on the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District website. I was challenged to find them easily. After reviewing them, I would ask that the only existing map and map to be considered for future adoption. Map Rio is very similar to the existing map boundaries that Temple City currently is in alignment with. With the recent sale of East Pasadena Water Company, the residents in the area of Director Garcia's proposed changes in Temple City would prove unsettling and yet provide the residents with another unwelcome change. In a very short period of time, I'm hopeful there are going to be meetings in person soon in which I could attend. Most public agencies are opening to the public now that there is a low transmission rate of COVID in Los Angeles County. Things have been closed for way too long, and it's time for meetings to be in person so constituents can come in to speak on items in person. Thank you for your time and service to my community. Sincerely, Jimmy Martinez. Public comment from
Nicole, if I could interject here. So in that last one, you did her a reference to RioMap. I do want the public to know that the public written public comments we received are read verbatim. We're not editing any of those or interpreting those in any way. So we are reading exactly the way they're reading. They were written. Thank you. Go ahead, Nicole.
Public comment from Brian Cook. Honorable board members, I respectfully write to the board again on behalf of the city of Temple City regarding your consideration for redistricting during your upcoming public hearing on March 9th. The city respectfully reiterates that we have had a long history of representation defined by the current district boundaries with both common and diverse communities of interest. Therefore, maintaining the district boundaries as currently configured will provide both continuity and keep intact long-standing stakeholder relationships and collaboration on issues of citywide and region-wide significance. If the board were to consider any alternative to the current district boundaries, Map 2 represents a more similar district boundary configuration to what currently exists within Temple City. Map 1 is a significant change to the current district boundaries. Again, please consider keeping in place the current district boundaries. Sincerely, Brian Cook, City Manager, City of Temple City. Public comment, Cynthia Sternquist. Oh, Cynthia Vance. Dear Directors, Chavez, Fellow, Garcia, Santana, Trevino. I'm a 45-year resident of the city of Temple City. After reviewing the three maps that will be discussed today, I am writing to ask all directors to only consider maps 1 or 2-2. Map 1 far exceeds the discussion that if the process of redistricting would be done by the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District without the advice of a demographer, only maps with subtle changes would be submitted. All directors were in agreement. Now, a map with significant changes has been introduced by Director Garcia that goes far beyond the definition of tweaking. After listening to the audio recordings of all meetings on redistricting, it is even more clear that proposing a map with the significant changes should not have been included. The map proposed by Director Garcia is not in alignment with the discussions on redistricting that have been taking place since January. Public comment from your constituents all spoke to the fact that the current map is what is preferred by residents in Temple City, Arcadia, Almaty, and other cities within the TC current boundaries. Director Garcia, on one of the newest members of the board, and I respect and admire her attempt to produce a redistricting map. Unfortunately, it goes against the minor tweaking that Director Santana suggested could be done in-house. It also does not take into account the intent of doing the process in-house or the testimony that has been read into public record. This is a full-on change that should have required numerous public hearings, information to city managers, constituents, and those who receive public comment from. In looking at all of the redistricting processes in every one of the 7 water districts that are closest to the San Gabriel Valley, it is evident that their redistricting process began early in December with demographers, consultants, or redistricting committees set up by the various agencies. Even if their district maps stayed the same, the process was done in an extremely transparent and engaging manner. I cannot find one water district in which any major changes were done in-house, as Director Fallow suggested he was extremely familiar with. Was this an attempt to Fallowmander to protect his own incumbency? Pasadena City College, the City of Almaty, and the past process in 2010 of the Upper Water District was professional and not the rush process that the district has taken in 2022, which includes an introduction of a map developed by a newly appointed board member. I am hopeful that the directors will vote for one of the two maps that does suggest minor tweaks as agreed upon by all the directors at the last meeting. Please do the right thing for all those who took the time to provide public comment at the 4 meetings already held on redistricting. I am hopeful that all the directors do the right thing and exclude Director Garcia's map from further discussion that goes way beyond subtle changes as tweaking suggests. Sincerely, Cynthia Vance, Temple City resident. Public comment from Jorge Marquez. Directors, we would like to express our support for the division boundaries proposed in public map 1. Current division boundaries seem haphazard and random. It is difficult to know which director represents which area. The proposed boundaries in public map 1 reflect a much easier to understand map for the public. Several cities have been consolidated, and cities that are not consolidated have clear boundaries that the public can understand without pulling up a current district map. It is becoming much more important for Southern California residents to understand our water supply and address water shortages. The district boundaries proposed in Public Map 1 make that communication between representative and community easier. This map represents a significant improvement towards the goal of educating the community on both water conservation and water policy. Listed are supporters of Map 1: Robert Gonzalez, Mayor of Azusa; Emmanuel Estrada, Mayor of Baldwin Park; Jorge Marquez, Mayor of Covina; Andrew Mendez, Councilmember of Azusa; Maria Morales, Councilmember of Almonte; Valerie Munoz, Councilmember of La Puente; Nadia Mendoza, Councilmember of La Puente; Brian Tabatabe, Councilmember of West Covina; James Toma, Mayor of West Covina, retired. Thank you for your time, Jorge Marquez, Mayor, City of Covina. Public comment from Yanny Lam. Dear Honorable Directors, Garcia, Santana, Trevino, Chavez, and Fellow, I am a resident of San Gabriel that lives on the border of Temple City. I would respectfully ask to consider only maps for redistricting that do not change the boundaries of Temple City, San Gabriel, and other cities. After reviewing the maps on the Upper District website, which were very difficult to read or enlarge without losing resolution, I believe that Map 1 significantly changes the boundaries of numerous cities within the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District boundaries. I would urge the directors to choose only the existing map or Map 2 to develop a resolution for and move forward with. I am a student at Pasadena City College and gave input to a redistricting commission committee that was set up by the college in 2021, which I believe was either in November or December, with the final map chosen in February. What has been the process for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District to date, and who was family? I would also like to be notice of a public records request to gather information regarding the dates and processes that the district used to arrive at today's discussion. I am hopeful that if none of the maps are selected today to move forward with that, there be at least two more public hearings in which testimony can be made. Also, now that the county and CDC have reduced the COVID transmission rate from high to low, that the district will have open community meetings on this issue at in-person meetings. The public wants to be engaged in this topic, and so far there has been minimal engagement and has been very difficult to understand what has been a regular meeting or a public meeting. It seems that those have been changed the day before, along with the naming of the meeting on the agenda. At government relations meetings held the day before a scheduled public hearing, the district should provide concise communication to its constituents about properly noticed meetings before they are changed from public hearing meetings to regular meetings, with no discussion from directors on the redistricting issue. I have also reviewed the redistricting process for the recent process of Pasadena City College, Three Valleys Water District, San Gabriel Water District, as well as the majority of other water districts. I cannot find one that did the redistricting process without a hired professional demographer or redistricting committee commission appointed by the agency. All of them have had a very concise and clear process that they followed and completed by the end of November to submit to Los Angeles County. They also had either redistricting committee set up, such as Pasadena City College did recently, and Three Valleys Water District. The Upper District's past practice included the one in 2010-2011, included a hired consultant who did extensive public outreach and community meetings. If a map such as the one proposed by Director Garcia is to be considered, why wasn't a professional hired and the best practice of all the other agencies put into place? The only reasonable thing at this point would be to keep the existing map or choose a map that has very little changes that would be accessible to all the people who have taken public comment from. I can be reached at this email address if any board of directors would wish to contact me. Please send me a receipt of my public comment. Thank you. Kindly, Yan Lam. Public comment from Steve Wynn. Dear directors Santana, Chavez, Trevino, and Garcia, please vote to support the current map in place or vote to move forward with maps 2 or 3, all which have very minimal changes. I am not in favor of the major changes map 1. Thank you. Winnie and Steve, Temple City resident. Public comment from Fernando Vizcarra. I support the Trevino plan. Fernando Vizcarra, Councilmember, Temple City. Public comment from Chris Camelot. Directors, I'll make it quick and to the point. Please support Map 1. It's really that easy. Thank you. Chris, Christopher C. And that's the last written public comment.
Okay, Vanessa or Nicole, are there any hands raised that wish to add to the public hearing?
President Chavez, if I might, the one thing I forgot to mention in my presentation, so all the public are aware of this, there will be at least one more public hearing on this matter. The board will not be making a decision today, and I just wanted the public to know that. There will be at least one more public hearing. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you. So, Vanessa, is there any other public comments during this public hearing?
Yes, President Chavez. So at this time, any members of the public on Zoom, please raise your hand by using the raise hand feature, or if on the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute. So I do see two hands raised, and Cynthia Sternquist, you may unmute and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. I'd like to, first of all, say good morning to all of the directors, to the GM, the district attorney, and to staff. I very much appreciate Director Garcia's attempts at developing a map, but I'm very concerned that the map that she developed did not include public comment, especially in regards to the city of Temple City. I'm not sure if the directors know, I did email Vanessa a map of American Water Company, which recently purchased East Pasadena Water Company, just for your reference, if you'd like to take a look at it. But in September 21, 2021, residents of Temple City, and that would include about 300 households, which East Pasadena served from the boundaries of the east side of Temple City Boulevard to Baldwin Avenue. Those residents, which is about 300 homes, for 50 years plus had East Pasadena Water Company. So we were a very small section. And my street where I live is between Temple City Boulevard and Baldwin. I live on Camellia, which had been serviced for all that time by East Pasadena Water Company. In October, those residents received a letter with their first bill from the new water company stating, you know, that they were excited to have these 300 residential homes be part of the new water company. So there was a lot of confusion with that, a lot of people, of course, because I live on a street that was affected, came and said, what is going on? This is so confusing. And they are still concerned. They do not like change. They are very comfortable with what we have. And in Director Garcia's map, it basically kicks 300 households out of their comfort zone into new boundaries. And those are not actually even the people that you have heard for now 5 meetings. These are the neighbors that live on Kaufman, Golden West, Agnes, the streets up to Baldwin.
Ms. Sternquist, if I could let you know, the 3 minutes has expired.
Okay. And many of them do not speak English. And they did ask for an interpreter, but I know it was short notice. But anyway, hopefully we can get that for the next meeting. But I would like you to take a look at that map and see why they are so concerned about Director Garcia's map. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Ms. Dunquist. I do see Veronica Moran has her hand up.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I just want to briefly let you know, as a resident here, you need to support MAT 1 because why? Because it keeps cities together and uses clear boundaries. We do not need gerrymandered maps that put board members and their friends politically convenient for them to run for office. Please do not use our community as a political playground. Make it simpler to understand, not harder, which Director Garcia has done. On a side note, I want to thank Directors Garcia and Santana for their hard work and for their comments supporting women in our water district. Happy International Women's Month. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Veronica. I do see Mr. Al Contreras has his hand raised.
Good morning, Mr. President, board members. Can I be heard? Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. My comments were pretty much stated the last time, and I wish they would have been recorded as I stated, but evidently, I guess there's different rules for different water districts, but I will accept it if it's the process. Again, this is an opportunity for the district to make the right decision. Again, it comes every 10 years. I would like to see the district make the right decisions because, again, it's only available every 10 years. So if we don't do the right things today, we're not going to be able to correct it and do come back in 10 years later. So I'm asking to please make the right decisions, board members, and hopefully they're the right decisions and they're not the political reason for a political reason. Thank you very, very much. Have a great morning. Bye.
Thank you for your comment, Mr. Contreras. I do not see any other hands raised at this time.
Okay, so Tom, is there anything else that we need to do within the public hearing before I close?
No, that should conclude the public hearing, so you're free to close it at this time.
Okay, so I wanted to thank all those that have participated, whether it's oral comments or written comments on this matter. I will then close the public hearing. And as previously noted, this is just one public hearing. We'll have another public hearing on this item in the future meetings. With that, at this time, it's the opportunity for the board of directors to add any further discussions or questions on this process.
Mr. President Chavez, this is Director Santana.
Yes, please.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, first of all, thank you all for the public comment. And I wanted to ask our legal team, Stephen O'Neill, if you can go over, answer the question, what have we been following the legal processes for this redistricting? And if you can go into detail on that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure thing. As you know, the district is formed pursuant to the Municipal Water District Act of 1911. That's the kind of the district's kind of organizing and the statutes by which the district is organized, formed, and how it operates. And in that set of statutes, there is a statutory requirement for redistricting, and it's Water Code Section 71540. And it requires that after each federal decennial census, every 10 years, the district has to adjust the divisional boundaries pursuant to Section 22,000 of the California Elections Code. So it refers us to another set of statutes, to the California Elections Code, to a specific section of the code. And that code is 22,000. And when you look at Section 22,000, it states that the district is required, it's a mandatory requirement, has to create divisions that, and this is a quote, as far as practicable, are equal in population and in compliance with another section of the United States Code. So the mandatory requirement under the Elections Code statute requires that we have the equal populations as far as, you know, as as is achievable. It understands that you're not going to get absolute perfect equilibrium between each division. It knows this, that's not achievable, and thus that's the as far as practicable standard where it comes from. And the if you have these deviations of less than 9 or 10%, they are considered to be in compliance with this requirement. The second part of that requirement, outside of the equal population, is you have to be in compliance with Title 52 of the United States Code. And that is also something that we meet. Those codes are prevent an agency from imposing any pre-qualifications or prerequisites to voting that are based upon race or color, et cetera. So that's kind of an anti-discrimination element to this. Then the Elections Code 22,000 has kind of a discretionary aspect and allows the board to consider other factors. It says the board may consider other factors such as topography, geography, cohesiveness and integrity, and communities of interest. So that's the kind of, I guess, the place where we get to more art than science, in trying to figure out how to balance those kind of discretionary factors with the legal requirement that you have the divisions be as equal in population as far as practicable. So that's a kind of an overall summary, Director Santana, of the statutory framework we have to deal with, where we have our organizing statutes, the Municipal Water District Act of 1911, which sends us over to the Elections Code, which imposes a mandatory requirement and identifies discretionary considerations that the board can consider. Does that address your question?
In part, yes. So that was good information. There's also requirements, to my understanding, of public hearings, a requirement for an amount of public hearing. And I just want to make sure that we are complying with that.
Yes. The same statutory framework, Elections Code 22,000, imposes a procedural requirement. And basically that procedural requirement is that that the board has to have at least two public hearings before it adopts its map. And once the map is adopted, we have to do so by resolution. As you know, this is the second public hearing. We plan to have a third. Tom and I have been very conscious of making sure this is a very transparent and open process, thus the workshops and the previous meetings where this was discussed. So in my view, having looked at the deviations from CVAP that are attached to each map, all those are in compliance, and thus we're meeting the requirements of the kind of the substantive requirements, and we are meeting the procedural requirements of having at least two public hearings before the map is adopted.
Great. Thank you.
I'm Director Chavez, if I may.
Yes, Director Garcia.
Before I discuss my map and further, which I appreciate all of those commenters and emails, thank you for calling it the Garcia map. I own this 100%. I would just like to ask the other directors if you have any questions for me, considering that this is something that I created myself.
Hearing none. So,
Mr. Chavez, can I just
mention,
President Chavez? I believe that I do have a question for.
So let's go ahead and go with Director Fellow, who asked.
Just wanted to say that I think she did a fine job, and I had no input into what she's doing, and I'm trying to be objective, and I thought it was a good job. Thank you.
Okay, Director Trevino.
Yeah, the question I had was, we had discussed doing some minor tweaking, addressing the concerns of Director Contreras, and I thought that was very fair because Director Contreras had been unfairly moved 10 years ago for political reasons. And so that was the intent. I supported that. My colleagues also mentioned, as a matter of record, that they didn't want to have major changes, that they thought minor tweaks were appropriate. And all of a sudden, we get a map with 7 or 8 changes that has major changes that disenfranchises people in the city of Temple City. So we have stated unequivocally they don't want any changes, and along with other cities, of course. So I just again, the question I had posed for Director Garcia is, how did we come about these changes when, you know, I mean, I have proposed a map 3, which tried to incorporate my colleagues' concerns, but yet with minimal disruption. And I, for one, would rather just stay as we are, existing. But again, Director Garcia, I'd like to know, because maybe I'm missing something. I would love to find out, and maybe you have some good points. Let me know.
I'd be happy to answer that. Thank you. And just like you said, former Director Alcontreras was definitely moved and unfairly moved in the last map because it was gerrymandered. Let's be honest about that. And so yes. Our current map, as it stands, is a gerrymandered map. And so as someone who teaches and educates not only the public, but like young people about who the representation is, it was extremely difficult to be able to have a conversation with a regular person who's probably too busy caring for their family, going to work, to take the time to really look at this detailed map. And I think all directors, you've seen these maps, you've seen the details. It's not an easy thing to do. And so I myself had to ask for help prior to being elected, when I initially began engaging with the water district, because it was difficult to figure out where these boundaries were. And I think it's unfair. And I agree, Director Turbin, it's a disenfranchising our public to make them have to go to the County Registrar and Recorder's website to have to figure out where and who represents them. I just think that's unfair. And so my rationale about this is really focused on community engagement, which you, Director Trevino, and all the comments at our previous hearings asked for. We care about community outreach. We care about the drought. We care about saving money. And those are things that I'm taking into account when I made this map. And so our current division lines are pretty arbitrary. So I took the time to really think about how can we engage our voters and the members of our community into understanding who represents them without having to make them look up a map, without having to make them go to a website. This should be something that is a conversation. And I know it's been a while since many of you have gone door to door knocking in precincts and talking to voters, but it's not something currently that we could have a 5-minute conversation about. It's not. It's difficult. You really have to look at cross streets. And if you look at Temple City, there was some just arbitrary zigzag. So my rationale is to make this easier for people to understand. Now I'm taking into account brand new people who became citizens and registered to vote so that they can understand who it is, who our representation is. People who maybe English is their second language and having to go through those maps and having to go through the website, that's already a barrier to engagement in our water district. I'm thinking of new voters who are 17, 18, and in the next 2 years, who are going to be.
It doesn't work.
Oh, Director Travis, sorry, you're not on mute. 17-year-old kids, freshmen in high school, these are the people that are going to be voting in the next 10 years. We need to make it easier for them to understand. So I consolidated cities because that's an easy conversation. What city do you live in? Oh, you live in West Covina? That's great. You're in Division 4. So we eliminated that aspect. And that, if that question made it too imbalanced in terms of our divisions, the next thing that I went to look for is school districts. Because like you said, Director Trevino, education and outreach is extremely important. And if we're engaging our young people, it's easy for them to understand like, oh, I am in this particular school district. That means I am part of this particular division. So if cities didn't work, my rationale was to use school districts. And so if you look at that border in Temple City, that is the exact same border as the Arcadia and Temple City Unified School District. So that's a border or a boundary that the citizens of Temple City are already used to. So that's not going to be something that is difficult to understand. That is something that they are already engaging with, because that divides their city into school districts. And so really the core is, we need to be able to explain to people, regular people at Waterfest, we need to be able to explain to people when we're at community events who the representation is, because we're already at a disadvantage as a water district, because this is not something that gets covered in the media very often. This is not something that gets talked about, just like your assembly district or your congressional representation. This is something that people can not look through. And why make it harder? Why make it harder for them to understand? And so that's my rationale. Director Trevino, I took into account, thank you, I'm not done speaking. I took into account all of the comments that were given. I truly sat down and I thought, how can I include what these people are asking for? And how can I make it equitable for not just one city, but every single city and every single person who lives there? And that is something that is important to me. Equity, engagement, accessibility. And that is something that is really truly at the heart of the map. And I think the people who comment today about map 3 clearly love my map, because it's about 90% the same as map 3. There's only two small changes differently. So if that 90% is acceptable to them, I think we can, after hearing maybe my explanation and maybe not hearing assumptions about my map, I think maybe that might change their minds. Thank you.
If I may, Mr. President.
Yes.
Just address you know, Director Garcia, and I respect what you've done, and I applaud what some of the work that you're doing. As a government teacher myself, the will of the people is important. They have spoken overwhelmingly saying, leave this alone. And the people have said this over and over again, the majority of the people. Now, perception is everything. Perception is everything in politics, and perception is everything. You know, the question would be, how did you arbitrarily pick Baldwin Avenue versus Temple City Avenue? Was it a particular street you had in mind? Was it a particular place you had in mind? Was it a particular person you had in mind? How was that picked? And we talked about gerrymandering. You mentioned that with Contreras, former Director Contreras. It really, the perception here is that it reeks of, as one person said, one of our staffers, incumbency. So, we have to be careful there. We don't want that perception.
I agree with you, and I believe I addressed that. That is a school district boundary. And like I mentioned before, if we are interested in engaging our community and engaging our schools, our youth, our everybody who lives there in outreach, we need to make it easier for them to understand. And that is already an existing boundary that divides Temple City. So it would not be an confusing change. It would not be a new change. It's a change that they're already used to and engage with as members of the school districts.
People don't want change. They have indicated that overwhelmingly.
Well, some certainly do.
Okay.
Mr. President, if I may.
Yes.
As well, just add to the conversation a little bit. I appreciated Director Garcia's clarification on the map, and I hope that everybody who made public comment is listening. That was a really detailed explanation and well articulated, and, examine the map yourself. There has been, I guess, some comments that we were going in one direction and then we switched. Well, if you were to go back and listen to, some of the, hearings and some of the committee meetings that we've had, it was an evolution of this conversation. As I had mentioned last time, we had some bad information in the beginning about the cost of this. And then, Mr. Alcantreras, thank you very much for your comments and bringing up this area of Baldwin Park. And, you know, that kind of opened the conversation to, well, if we're going to take a look at this boundary, let's take a look at the whole map. You know, let's see what other areas here we can correct. So, make whole, make better for the community. And, you know, I really applaud the maps that consolidate the cities the most, consolidate the communities the most, that put the community first. So that's how this conversation evolved. And again, please go back and listen to the all the comments, and you can clearly hear that. That was the direction from the board. And so, yeah, that's as far as the community, what the community is saying in Temple City. I believe that we do have, and you know, around the surrounding areas and within our district, we have a mix of people right now. It's not just one clear voice saying, no, 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 don't touch this. So I'd like to correct that as well. If we listen to the public comment, then I think you can hear that clearly. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other discussion from directors about the process or the maps?
Chavez, do we need some direction for the next meeting? Or
so the only direction that needs to be given to staff is if there's any other additional maps or changes or tweaks to the existing maps. Tom, if you could interject, is there anything else that you need from directors at this time before we hold our next public hearing?
Yes, President Chavez. So a couple of things to note. So we are approaching the April 17th deadline. One consideration might be to hold a special meeting, at least one more special meeting at a few board meetings or whatever's necessary for the next public hearing. We typically, when we schedule special meetings, we do it on the same day of the week. In between board meetings. So one day for consideration would be next week on Wednesday, the 16th, 8 o'clock for a special board meeting and for the next public hearing on this matter. Secondly, as we approach a potential decision by the board on this, staff would seek the board's concurrence for us to work with legal counsel and draft a generic resolution. I say generic because the resolution itself won't identify any of the maps under consideration, but to draft a generic resolution. And Steve, do you want to expand on that?
Sure. The statute requires that this be done by resolution. And since you have several maps before you, my recommendation would be to draft a resolution that would be adaptable to whatever map you approve. So we'd probably be referring to the map and the legal description or the census tract description outlining the divisional boundaries as an exhibit to that resolution. I think it'll save time, the district time and money, rather than having your engineers and your consultants draft three different maps. We could approve one, and then that could be an attachment to the resolution. That's my plan for moving forward.
So, directors, if there's no objection, we will proceed and prepare that resolution as Steve described. In addition, if there's no objection from the directors, we will plan on having the next public hearing on this matter to occur on March 16th, Wednesday. I just want to make sure I have that date right. Yes, March 16th, a week from today, 8 a.m., and we will prepare the agenda and post accordingly. Any concerns from any directors on that?
So, Tom, it's not the 23rd?
So, our President Chavez, our regular meeting does occur on the 23rd. But given that we're approaching the deadline, I'm just asking for the board's consideration to schedule a special meeting for next week, a week from today.
Okay. Is there any other direction or comments that the board needs to address during the public hearing or to give staff direction before those meetings? So, Tom, we have dispensed with this item then? Item number 8?
Yes. Now we've concluded with the discussion on the redistricting, and we can move on to item 9.
Okay.
Did we officially close public hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So at this time, I need to excuse myself Vice President Santana has agreed to take over this meeting, the remainder of the meeting. I wanted to stay on as long as I can for the public comments because they were important to hear. And then on the 23rd, the meeting on the 23rd, I may or may not be available. I'll be out of the country, and depending my cell phone carrier, if I could access the meeting. Otherwise, I will not be available for the 23rd. But next week's meeting, I will be. So with that, thank you, board, for and the public for participating in the meeting. And Vice President Santana, can you please take over at this time?
Sure thing. Thank you, Director. President Chavez, moving on. All right. So public hearing is closed. That dispenses with item 8. We will be moving on to item 9, information items. We have press releases and news articles in our packet. Moving on to item 10, attorney's report.
Thank you, Dr. Santana. A few things to report. Since the last meeting, we spent, as you can imagine, a fair amount of time on the redistricting matter, working with Tom and Patty and the staff. Also responded to several Public Records Act requests that we've received. And I just want to note, if I could just, I guess, refer this to, I don't know if to, Vanessa or Evelyn, but during the public comment on the redistricting today, there was a, I noted there was one of the comments was from a student from, I think, from Pasadena City College. And it sounded like embedded in that, in those comments was a request for public records. So if you could make sure you forward that to me so we can make sure we respond to that request. I'd appreciate that. We also did some work on the remote meetings issue. There was, as some of you know, there was a political article published last week that suggested that the governor had suspended the ability to have remote meetings. We spent a fair amount of time looking through that. And I it's not a real model of clarity, but our conclusion is that we can continue under Assembly Bill 361 to continue the remote meeting process. Lastly, it's just more of a unrelated to the activities we're doing for the district, but I just want to inform the board that my partner and I are moving our water practice to another law firm, a law firm called Allyshire and Winder, which does a similar to what we're currently doing. They do a lot of city work throughout Southern California. And I look forward to addressing this at the next meeting on the 23rd. With that, that concludes my legal report.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for our attorney? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to engineer's report.
Good morning, directors. Steve had to run to the next meeting, so I'll be providing the engineer's report. As of March 4th, last Friday, the Baldwin Park Key Well elevation was 181.5 feet. This is a decrease of 0.2 feet from the prior week and a decrease of about 0.7 feet from the prior month, and about 16 feet lower than a year ago. And that represents 128,000 acre feet. And that's mostly from cyclic storage accounts. The reservoir storages, combined storage as of Monday, March 7th, was 41,032 acre feet. That's 49% of capacity. I think in the Main Basin board meeting, Tony mentioned that there's going to be planned releases by Morris sometime this week, ranging from 25,000 acre feet to 30,000 acre feet. The San Gabriel Canyon spreading grounds, those the only imported water deliveries was from Upper District. It was about 2,000 acre feet through the San Gabriel District pipeline to the Canyon spreading grounds and through to Azusa's surface water treatment plant. And in February, it was about 1,993 acre feet. Rainfall through the end of February, Puddingstone Dam was 8.41 inches, which is 64% of average. LA Civic Center through the end of February was 10.65 inches, which is 99% of average. Water quality, there were no, we did receive no public notice of well shutdown due to contamination. During February, there were 73 wells sampled under Main Basin Water Master's groundwater quality monitoring program under Title 22. And in January, there are 46 wells sampled. And for the River Water Master annual report, we mailed that out February 28th for water year 2021. I'll just go through the findings from the River Water Master annual reports. Rainfall for water year 2021, which is October through September, was 6.3 inches. And that adds up to a 10-year average rainfall rolling average of 12.4 inches. And based on that, the entitlement is 52,000 acre feet. Usable water that was received by lower area was 49,618 acre feet. So we had a debit of 2,382 acre feet. And then our accrued credit through the end of September 2021 was 217,686 acre feet. And I think, oh, and then for River Water Master, we sent out notices that we had a change of address. So this office is going to be the main office. And that concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Jenny. Do we have any questions from other directors? Jenny, you had mentioned we have a credit. Is that correct?
Yes.
We have a water credit. And what is that number again?
217,686 acre feet.
Okay. And that this is with the river. Can you explain that?
The River Water Master.
The River Water Master.
Yeah. That's through the Long Beach judgment. It guarantees lower area receives its entitlement every year. And it's based on a 10-year rolling average. This current 10-year rolling average was 12.4 inches. Then based on the judgment, it shows how much lower area is entitled. And we can deliver that by surface flow through Whittier Narrows, subsurface flow or export. And it's less reclaimed water and imported water that lower area receives.
Okay. And that number, to my knowledge, from conversation last year, that number keeps going up, our credit. Is that correct?
Yeah, this year we had a negative 2,382, but that's almost like a even wash.
All right, thank you. That's something that's interesting. I know this is kind of we're entering, a different era of water here, and it's an older judgment. It's an interesting thing. Okay, moving on to, yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Moving on to General Manager's Report. See you, Tom.
I realized it was my turn anyway. So on the River Water Master report, I think that merits a separate workshop with the board because there's a lot of detail in that. We'll call it another water 101. We'll put that on a meeting calendar sometime in the near future now that the report is just published. And that judgment is known as the Long Beach versus Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. We are the named plaintiff, defendant. I shouldn't practice law without a license, but the defendant, along with several other water districts, we were added to that judgment after the initial filings on that. So it's worth a good long conversation on because it's very important process frankly, the judgment itself was the impetus to form Upper District. So it's an important part of our history. So moving on to the general manager's report and talking about water supply. And I'll talk about imported water supply. Jenny covered our local water supply. DWR in January changed the allocation on the state water project to 15%. That was a huge relief for us, a big change from 0%. And for the metropolitan state water project dependent areas, what that meant is if we can keep demands about normal, that would be enough to get us through the end of the calendar year. And we certainly would hope for more rain in the fall. But what has happened since that time is in Northern California and the watersheds that feed into the state water project, January and February, which are typically the wettest months of the year, this year, those 2 months are the driest on record. And it's essentially erased all the gains, most of the gains we got from those storms in December. So while DWR was very conservative when they reviewed the hydrology and runoff forecast and setting the 15%, that 1% chance that conditions could be worse than they assumed has occurred. And so there is a possibility that they may have to lower the allocation. We're certainly hoping they don't. And I think Metropolitan and others are trying to work with them so that we can at least maintain that 15% allocation. As we consider that, we are working with Metropolitan on some near-term options, long-term options in the event we run short of state water project supplies. Watermaster is working with us cooperatively with Met, and we have deferred some of Watermaster's order from last fall and working with Met to try and find the most appropriate and beneficial time to take that delivery. So the short-term options we have are, you know, number one, hope for a maintained high state water project allocation, but also we're working on measures to bring Colorado River water supplies into the region. And then between now and when the regional recycled water project is constructed about 10 years from now, when we do have wet years on the state water project, to increase the cyclic storage even more than we already are storing in cyclic storage. And then the long-term solution is the Regional Recycled Water Project would meet 100% of our groundwater replenishment needs, and we would no longer be dependent on state water project water. On the Carson Project, today at our producer meeting, I do have John Bernarski, Chief Engineer at Metropolitan Water District, who will give our producers a presentation on the Regional Recycled Water Project. And it's probably something I think the board, it's been a while since we've had that update to the board, and so that's something we'll bring back to you through the Water Resources Committee or to the board with a Metropolitan presentation on that project. And lastly, the other hot topics with Metropolitan are budget and rates. We'll be discussing that with our producers, and Metropolitan staff will be coming to the producer meeting in April and discussing the budget and rate proposal that is going before the Metropolitan Board. And that concludes my comments. You've got my written report. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Tom. Do we have any questions or comments from directors? Okay, I look forward to those workshops. Yeah, I think that the River Water Master and also the Carson Project update, I'm looking forward to that. It's amazing that we fit into that 1%, and, you know, what it means to our water supply is daunting. Okay, moving on to Metropolitan report.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. After two full days of meetings from 9 to 5, here are some important actions the board took yesterday. One, a project labor agreement for projects more than $5 million, and this will be looked at by the GM, and he will come back to the board again for some sessions of how this should be implemented. And also important was the equity infrastructure project pledge that the board approved. And this is going to be significant for and helping support minority businesses dealing with Metropolitan. Plus a number of actions from the Shaw Law Group report, which I've discussed in the past. We finally took some of these up yesterday, and they include the hiring in April of a director for the new Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. In addition, we will be hiring the end of this month the director for the new Equal Employment Opportunity Office, which will likely have a staff of 6 investigative officers to investigate various types of abuses, whether they be from managers, whether they be from colleagues, or whether they be from MWD directors. Next, we voted on the creation of a MyVoteNet. I was looking at something else, a computer system. It's a new state-of-the-art complaint clearinghouse that will be used to track employee problems and in the workforce. And finally, we hired the Mays Nave Law Group to review and update policies and procedures which deal with such issues as sexual harassment in the workplace and violence in the workplace. And as Tom mentioned, January and February are the driest January and February in the history of recording rainfall. And so we're going to have to do a lot more in conservation, and it's something that this board should also be discussing in the future. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for the report. Excellent. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, moving on to Water Quality Authority report. I believe that is in the packet. Director Chavez had to step away, so we'll go ahead and move on to Water Master report. If we have no additional comments, I believe that's also in the packet. Moving on to AB 1234 compliance report. If there's nothing for directors to add to that, we'll move on to directors' comments, and starting with Director Fellow.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Just two comments. One, some of us saw yesterday Congresswoman Grace Napolitano received the very prestigious Gold de Fleury Medal from the Chief of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This is a big deal. And Tom, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's only two people that ever received this award. And I think she's the first woman, I think. And it is a, I think she's the first civilian also. She was very touched, and she gave a very good talk yesterday, and her colleague Judy Chu is there and other congressional people. And she deserves this. And she's much loved by the Army Corps of Engineers. And we love her because she does our work in Washington, D.C., in trying to get money from WERDA and other sources so that we can build our projects. I also want to mention that this is Women's Month. And I just want to talk a little bit about women. And as a young journalist, we never hired women reporters. And I thought it was horrible at the time. And finally, when I did move up into an editor's position, I made sure that we hired women. They turned out to be some of the best award-winning reporters in the newspaper. As a professor and department chair, I hired more women than any chair in the history of the department. So today, I want to honor the Upper District women. And for the first time, we have two women directors, Jennifer Santana and Katrina Garcia, who I continue to be impressed by their wisdom, their leadership, and their outstanding features of leadership. I also want to give kudos and thank Patty Cortez for all the work she does, Evelyn Rodriguez, Vanessa Navarrete, Priscilla Liu, and Valerie Rodriguez. We have a great staff of women who do an outstanding job, and more power to them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Director Fellow. Thank you for your comments. Okay, moving on, Katie Garcia.
You took my women's month thank yous, but I will reiterate too. I think I am so privileged to be a part of Women in Water, which includes our staff, our providers, our engineers at Stetson, the people who work for our attorney's office. I think every little bit counts and every little bit matters. So I just wanted to recognize all of us who are in there together. We get a whole month, but I want to just, I think it's important for us to celebrate us every day. And the work that you do doesn't go unnoticed. Like, I am always in just complete awe and admiration of many of you who contribute every meeting, behind the scenes at the meeting. It's amazing, and it's wonderful to be a part of this. And I also just want to mention that next week is Fix a Leak Week, if you can see behind me. And I just wanted to promote that because I think our community outreach staff is doing an excellent job, both on social media and engaging our community. And I will have this background for pretty much the rest of the month because I would like to remind our public that this is an important thing. So I just wanted to thank you all for everything you do. And if you were at our government affairs meeting, I'm looking forward to our inclusion of like a Women in Water event. As you all know, this is something that's important and it's needed. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for all of us to engage and how water affects our lives and how we can be a part of our many solutions in the Upper District. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Garcia. Director Trevino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to make a comment. I'm happy to see that MWD is now putting in place a lot of the proposals dealing with employee issues that were put forth by Director Camacho, Director Ortega, Director Ballin, and myself during my time there at the Metropolitan Water District. It's long overdue. And I'm glad that these directors, obviously Director Ballin and myself, are no longer there, but they were acknowledged for the hard work that we did. And those proposals were put in place. So I'm happy with that. The other thing that I want to say is I think it's time for us to go to in-person meetings. It is difficult difficult when the public wants to come before this board in person and is not able to do so. It's quite different when you send in a Zoom comment or a written comment, and it is a different thing when the public is in front of us. We have to see the public. We have to see their concerns. We have to see their faces. We have to see what they feel. And we as public servants owe them that. We owe them that respect. So I would like for us to consider going back to in-person meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Trevino. We have a future agenda items coming up. I have no director's comment. I guess I do want to just give my congratulations as well to Grace Napolitano. That really is just a standout award that she got from the Army Corps of Engineers. And, you know, in my time on the as a board member, I've been very impressed with everything she has done for water in our area. So kudos to her. Moving on, future agenda items. Anything? I guess we did discuss at least two items. Tom, I would like to second or make a motion for the two items that you had mentioned, which is the Carson Water Project and the River Water Master update. That would be really beneficial for us, I think. So those are my two suggestions on future agenda items. Do we have any others? Okay. Seeing none, I believe we are done, and we do not have any closed session today. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much. Then we will go ahead and adjourn, and this meeting is concluded.